How Google killed RSS, and what that cost the open web. The highest scoring item in Sunday's feed, 541 upvotes and 190 comments on a piece from OpenRSS, traced how Google Reader's 2013 shutdown, preceded by years of Google deprioritizing RSS across its products, effectively killed mainstream RSS adoption at the moment it was poised to become ubiquitous. The argument is not simply that Google removed a product people liked. Google Reader was the sync backend that made RSS viable on mobile, the infrastructure allowing readers to move between desktop and phone and have each device reflect what had already been read. When Reader died, it took the sync layer with it, and no alternative in 2013 had the distribution or resources to fill that gap. The comment thread drew a direct line from Google's RSS behavior to the structure of Google Search. RSS would have routed readers directly to content creators. Google Search routes readers through Google. Those two information architectures have different economics, and Google's incentives clearly aligned with the latter. Whether that alignment constitutes anti-competitive conduct under the Sherman Act, which prohibits monopolization through exclusionary behavior, not the mere possession of a monopoly, is, commenters noted, precisely the legal question regulators across multiple jurisdictions have been arguing about for years. There is no documented internal directive to kill Reader to protect search. There is a company that repeatedly made resource allocation decisions that had the effect of weakening an open protocol competing with its core business. A small, separate story, a noticed bug causing Google's date range search filter to return incorrect results, generated a thread whose dominant tone was not temporary glitch, but search quality has been deteriorating for years with no competitive pressure to reverse it. Together, the RSS retrospective and the search filter bug composed a portrait of information infrastructure that became dependent on a single actor's incentives, and in the community's red, has been paying the price ever since. A Kyoto University study on habit formation, identifying molecular and circuit-level mechanisms distinguishing initial learning from habit consolidation, drew 83 upvotes and a thoughtful thread about implications for addiction and behavioral disorders. The research mapped, uncomfortably, onto platform design. The same neural mechanisms that make habits difficult to break are the ones platforms explicitly exploit to make their services sticky. Once Google became default information infrastructure across browser, search, and RSS sync, switching required breaking habits encoded at a neural level, not merely making a rational product comparison. The Mathematics Without Mathematicians piece closed the day's intellectual arc. As automated proof assistants and AI systems grow more capable of generating mathematical results, the author argued, there is a specific epistemic fragility in proofs that no human understands, the lean for soundness bug illustrating exactly that risk. If the formal verification community is no longer in the loop, the human mathematical understanding that might catch a subtle kernel failure is absent by design. The day's conversation, from the Industrial Revolution analogy to C-Dance's physics failures to Google's RSS decisions, kept returning to the same question. What does it cost when the people depending on a system no longer understand how it works?